Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I've had the joy and privilege so far this week to be spending time at the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education Conference hosted by Concordia in Mequon. In fact, today I drove up with our preschool director and we drove back just in time for church. And it has been a true joy and pleasure so far. We'll be there again tomorrow. We get to sing matins with 500 other Lutherans gathered together in a beautiful chapel, singing loudly with beautiful organ playing. Not that you're not doing a great job. But a live organist blasting through the pipes as we're all singing together, 500 voices united in these beautiful, rich Lutheran hymns. In fact, I saw one of you there earlier today. And it is a true joy and pleasure to spend time with these people who care so much about the Bible, care so much about their Lutheran faith, care so much about their children and the children of their congregation that they want to make sure that they are giving them the very best that is available so that they are raised in the faith. That the faith be handed down generation after generation. That their children don't have to come home every day and second guess everything that they were told. Rather, everything stems, flows, and is founded on the pure word of God. It is beautiful to watch as there are 70 children present who are playing chess. If that's something you find enjoyable, it's fine. But singing together, playing together, spending time together, watching these families together. It is truly a beautiful thing to sit and learn and watch. And all of that stems from this book, the Bible. Acknowledging that it is a parent's responsibility to make sure that the faith is handed down to his and her children. We have a God who was dead, but is now alive. We have a God-man who went to the cross for the sins of every man, woman, and child. But a God-man who rose on the third day. A God-man who ascended back to his throne, as St. Paul reminds us in Ephesians. And his name is above every name, Paul will write again in Philippians, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess, and it is beautiful to see that happening right in this temporal life. I got to hear a sermon based on our text for today at the Matins service this morning, and yet every time I think about John's baptism, what exactly it means, there's a little bit of befuddlement there because I've read things on both sides by faithful teachers that I believe. So what exactly is the baptism of John? We know that Jesus submitted to the baptism of John. Jesus here in the question that he asked the Pharisees, by what authority did John do this? Is John's baptism from heaven or from earth? Does he get this from God or does he act only as men? And they know that they are trapped. If we say that it is from God, he will quickly turn around and say, then why didn't you believe him? When he said the Messiah was coming, why did you not repent and turn from your sins and believe? But if they say it's only from man, then the people will revolt against them, for they treasured John, and they were deeply saddened at his own beheading. And so they simply turn around and say, you know what? We don't know. Now, is that truly what they believe? No, but they tried to take a politically expedient option. And that always befuddles me as well when I see our own leaders do that. I cannot give a clear answer. It may endanger my own self. Therefore, I will say something that doesn't appease anyone, that may or may not even be the truth. But Jesus always speaks the truth. In the book of Acts, we see it discussed as well. This baptism of John is a baptism of repentance. He is drawing people through this water purification to point that they are sinners in need of a Savior, that they need to turn from their sins. And yet even this washing is not their own act. It is still by God's grace. He is the one who brings about repentance. He is the one who washes. Jesus submits to that baptism not because he needs to repent, but so that his glory, his righteousness may fill that water, that when we receive that baptism, we receive his cleanliness, his washing away of sins. In Acts 19, Paul goes forth, and he meets a group of 12, finding some of these disciples, and he says, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." What do we do with that? These are disciples of John that had never even heard of the Holy Spirit. How does that work? There too, I've read difference of opinion. Perhaps these were followers that did not continue in the vein of John. These were people who followed, but then did not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they were baptizing, trying to replicate what they had seen from John without acknowledging that it was a precursor of the washing away of sins that is holy baptism. And so Paul says, "Were you baptized?" They said, "We were baptized into John's baptism." And Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus." We saw that in John 1, that John the Baptist pointed to his relative, his cousin Jesus, and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I am not worthy even to untie the straps of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with water, fire, the Holy Spirit," that all these things will be wrapped up together. The disciples received that gift of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And in that time, according to God's holy will, they were able to work signs and miracles, left and right, to show that this is a continuation of the work of Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. I've heard people complain about this. Can I baptize simply in the name of Jesus? Is that what this means? In fact, you can find that vehement debate online. But to baptize in the name of Jesus is to baptize according to his command. And what was our Lord's command? As he was ascending on high, as he instituted the sacrament of holy baptism, he gave the command. And he said, "Go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." This is the baptism of Jesus. This is the baptism with which all of you received the Holy Spirit, receive the adoption as sons, receive the washing away and purging of your sins and the old and evil leaven. Let's turn this around a little bit. If the world were to say to you, the unbelieving world, "Are you a Christian?" There are many people that might say, "Yes, I'm a Christian." But when they ask you what you actually believe, and they say, "Well, if you are a Christian, do you believe these things from the Bible?" And you say, I don't know. Are you being dishonest? Are you actually letting the Spirit be alive and working in you? Now, maybe you don't know, which shows that we need to read more Scripture. But spend time in God's Word. Let it fill you, so consume you, and believe it, because the Holy Spirit certainly does. The Holy Spirit, He has given us this book. A book that is true, that is consistent from beginning to end. There is no God of the Old Testament that is somehow different than the God of the New Testament. It is the same divine Jehovah, the same I Am, the same one that created all things, that gives us life, and that will return. So confess with your hearts. Confess with your lips that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lean not on your own understandings, but on your baptism. You are His children, and that is a reason to say to the world, yes, I believe. The church sings. O grant, dear Lord, this grace to me, recalling your ascension, that I may serve you faithfully in thanks for my redemption. And when, then, all my days will cease, let me depart in joy and peace in answer to my pleading. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.